April 18th, 2010. The following was recorded at North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. Please visit us online at nbrc.com.
Good morning. Please stand and sing with us, Amazing Love, How Can It Be?
Sing of your love forever. I don't know if anyone's missing their Swiffer. I found this in the front pew. Dust and shine, clean shine condition. No wax formula. I guess they were working on the pews earlier. But you know, it does remind us about praying for forgiveness, for having our love for Jesus polished up a little bit. So I invite you to pray with me as we ask for forgiveness for our sinful selfishness. Loving Jesus, we confess that it's easier to deny our wrongdoing, to cover up our sin, to avoid facing our failures, our selfishnesses, our lack of loving you, than it is to confess our sin openly to you. Remind us that when we take the easy way out, we call you a liar rather than recognize your truth. Forgive us where we have not loved you and loved others as we ought. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. And the great promise of the gospel is that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, to polish that love, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive that forgiveness and that love and know that God loves you and share that with those around you. I think you know that I'm not Pastor Mark. He's on vacation in Michigan. We want to remember to pray for his grandpa who's sick in the hospital. Nor am I Jen Landrieu, who was in the hospital at 2 a.m. this morning with her son Ryan with croup, although he's well under control. So I'm going to invite all the kids forward, and we're going to talk about this. And I have a wonderful helper who's going to help me. So come on, kids. Want to use that mic or not? Two wonderful helpers. Hi, guys. You can come in closer. Oh, you brought your dog. How wonderful is that? Rutgers, yes. All right. Oh, boy. Good to see you. Good to see you. Fill in. Come on. Good to be with you. Oh, we got hundreds coming yet. There's more room on this side than this side, but if anyone wants, no. That's all right. They're coming on this side, too. All right, everybody. Well, who knows what this is? There's supposed to be something that goes underneath it like this, and it sets on the ground. Anyone have any idea what this is? Tell me what you think. It's a colored pan. Yep, it's a colored pan. It's that. What else is it?
It's for the fire.
Oh, it's for fire. Is that what you were going to say?
No.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say it's a sled.
It's a sled? Or it could be. It could be a sled, except you got to get some of that dirty stuff out of there. Well, we used it for a fire pit. And I wonder, and here's where my wonderful helpers are going to come in. We were planning this over breakfast this morning when we found out that Mrs. Landrieu couldn't be here. I wonder if you've ever been around a fire at night and what you like to do. Raise your hand if you have.
I did on a website.
And before you tell me what you're going to do, Mrs. Landrieu's better at this than I am. But before you tell me what you do about a fire, I'm going to ask Carissa, who asked us to get a fire pit at our house, what she likes to do around a fire.
I like to talk with my friends about like school and everything that's going on, and we have a good time around the fire. That's what we do.
I think they talk about boys too, but I don't know. I'm not invited. I'm not invited to those fire pit conversations. I'm supposed to stay far away when they have. What do you like to do around the fire? Okay, what do you like to do? Warm yourself. What do you like to do?
Play
Roast marshmallows. I wish I had marshmallows. What do you like to do?
S'mores.
Make s'mores. What do you like to do?
I like to sit around the fire and tell spooky stories.
Tell spooky stories. Oh, my goodness. It makes me scared just thinking about it. What do you like to do, Ben?
Roast weenies.
Roast weenies. That's good. What do you like to do? You like to camp? Oh, wow. So the story that we're going to read in a minute is about a fire. And it's about Jesus, and it's about Peter. And let me just tell you a little bit about it. Peter had lied about Jesus. Is it a good thing to lie?
No.
No, Jesus had lied about Jesus. He said he didn't know Jesus when he really did. And so Peter felt kind of bad, and Jesus felt kind of bad, but Jesus wanted to show Peter that he was still his friend. And so they were out fishing. And Jesus helped them catch a lot of fish. And they brought, anybody here fish? Ever go fishing? Or know somebody that fish? All right. They caught a lot of fish. And
my dad caught a big fish.
Caught a big fish. Oh, wow. He caught a lot of fish. And when they came to the shore, Jesus had a fire going so they could cook not the weenies, not the marshmallows, not the s'mores, but the fish. Yuck. Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't like fish. Yuck. But that's all right. They like to do that. And they had a breakfast cookout. And Jesus, by having that breakfast cookout, Jesus and Peter became friends again, because Jesus always wants to be your friend because he loves you. And the only hard thing about Jesus being your friend is, can you see Jesus?
No.
No. So you just kind of got to believe that he really is in your heart and he likes you and he listens to you. And he loves you, and he wants to hear about your school or your friends or all of that stuff, right? Jesus wants to be your friend, just like he had the cookout with Peter and was Peter's friend. All right? Anything else? Anything else, assistants, you want to add?
No.
That was good? All right, thank you very much. Let's have a prayer, and then when the song starts, you guys can go. Jesus, thank you for being our friend, and we pray you'll be a special friend with Ryan this morning. I don't know if he's still in the hospital or if they're home with medicine. I think probably they're home with medicine. Help Ryan be his friend, because he would be here this morning. And help everybody who needs you, and help us to remember every day that you love us and you want to be our friend, just as if we were having a breakfast cookout together. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. You can go to church school and we'll sing. Nice job. seated. Couple of announcements. First off, Vacation Bible School sign up in the fellowship hall in between the services. So please check the table out there. I think Amy Wingren might be there and other folks where you can sign up for Vacation Bible School. And then if you turn with me to page 6, I highlighted two more. First, under NBRC preschool. Preschool registration is 15 ahead of last year. We're grateful for that. Jen, Ms. Lander is doing a great job with it. You can see that preschool registration for 2010-2011 is in the bulletin, second announcement or first full one down. And then at the very bottom, there's an announcement on page 6 about nursery care. Child care available for ages 0 to 3 during worship service on Sunday. And you can read the rest of it. And I suppose if I was going to add a third one, maybe I should. Look on page 5 under fellowship. I haven't done this one for a while. Spring camping is coming. If you like to do s'mores and marshmallows and roast weenies with good Christian fellowship, sign up for the spring camp out. All right. As we prepare to read God's Word and the story of Scripture that we've already talked about, pray with me to prepare your heart. Jesus, we thank you for being with us, for always making friends, renewing friendship with us, even when we've, like Peter, have turned away from you. Help us now to remember that as we hear this story read and proclaimed, for this week, by your power and grace, we will live it. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Good morning. Today's reading is going to be John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. But it's going to be in the New Living Translation, so you're not going to be able to follow along with the Pew Bible. Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee, and this is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, and jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them: fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Then Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Denial. Truth hidden in the closet. The most recent form of religious denial that has been in front of our faces for a while has been, unfortunately, the Catholic Church alleged priest's sexual scandal. And I don't know about you, but I was disappointed during Holy Week that every day this was what we saw in the media constantly. But it wasn't even just in the television media, for in printed media we could read what David Dayan wrote, which says, he said, "The abuse can be seen as systemic, as well as the response from the church's leadership to hide the problem, to transfer the abusers, to deny accountability." And then there's Irish pop star Sinead O'Connor, famous for, if you remember, 18 years ago on Saturday Night Live, tearing up a picture of the previous pope. She lit in to her church in a Washington Post editorial, an excerpt of which is this: "Pope Benedict's so-called apology takes no responsibility for the transgressions of Irish priests. But Benedict's infamous 2001 letter to bishops ordered them to keep sexual abuse allegations secret under threat of excommunication." I don't know if that's a fact or not. I haven't read it. "In Ireland, it is time we separated our God from our religion and our faith from its alleged leaders." Wow. Sad. So sad. Unless we Protestants get smug and think of this as only a Catholic problem, and if you're Catholic here and worshiping amongst us, know that I don't attack the Catholic Church. I try not to ever. You're brothers and sisters in Christ with us. But lest we Protestants think it's only a Catholic problem, let me remind you of two things. First, we've done the same things. Unfortunately, I think of a friend of mine who was an associate pastor at a prominent West Michigan church who in the 80s wanted to leave that church because he was so sick and tired of hearing the rumors of the senior pastor's philandering. Hopefully Mark never has to deal with that. I don't think he has had to, nor ever will. First is that. Second, remember that you and I are painted with the same broad brush by culture that the Catholic Church is painted with. So that people are saying to us today, "Organized religion? I believe in God, but I don't believe in the church." So how does Jesus help us to deal with our denial, our hiding of the truth? Well, I submit to you, it's the same way that Jesus helped Peter deal with denial. Let me just go back one step in the story and refresh your memory a little bit about what was just read. On crucifixion eve, remember how Peter was warming his hands by a fire in the courtyard when Jesus was being tried, and over that fire, some people saw him. And three times, as Jesus predicted, Peter was asked, "Weren't you with Jesus?" And three times Peter said a stronger form, according to Scripture, of "Heck no," right? And then the rooster crowed, remember? And Peter walked away hanging his head. And then there was this glorious news of Easter. And Peter was excited. He was one of the first males to run with John to the tomb. But I imagine that Peter could never quite make direct eye contact with Jesus after that denial. And here we have this morning before us the third post-Easter appearance of Jesus. And it happened that, Peter, having failed in his previous endeavor of being a fisher of men, what do you do when you fail? You go back to the tried and true. Well, Peter avoided dealing with his failure there in the new endeavor by going back to fishing. And so they were fishing all night. That was common. That was the best time to catch the fish. And they were casting their nets out and casting, getting nothing. And suddenly, as the sun is rising, the risen one from the shore shouts out, "Hey, guys, there's a shoal of fish on your right side." It wasn't uncommon for people to be able to see in the Sea of Galilee a shoal of fish on an opposite side from the shore better than it was on, I don't know if that was even a complete sentence, or you know what I mean. Jesus could see it better from the shore. It wasn't uncommon that he could see it better from the shore than that they could see the shoal from the boat. Don't know why that is. I just read it. I'm not a fisher. So they cast the net on the other side. And suddenly, the nets are almost ripping full of 153 fish. And Peter is so excited, he jumps into the boat jumps out of the boat, runs to the shore. And what's Jesus doing? But he's cooking breakfast. And you know how our strongest sense is the sense of smell? I imagine that as soon as Peter smelled that charcoal burning, he remembered immediately what happened before the rooster crowed. And I imagine he didn't make eye contact again. And so they lug in the 153 fish. They skewer them, they roast them. They have not the Last Supper, but the first breakfast. A good time is had by all. Peter pushes back with belly full, sits back in the sand, and the second thing happened. The first thing that happened was Jesus meets Peter in his denial, the first breakfast. The second thing that happened is Jesus meets Peter in his denial while Peter's fishing. The second thing that happens is that Jesus confronts his denial. Now they're relaxed. Now their bellies are full. And now they're going to get a little more serious in their conversation. So Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you agapao me? Do you love me unconditionally like God loves?" And Peter, very aware of his past failure, says, "Yes, Jesus, you know that I phileo you. I love you like a brother." Our English only translates those words, "Do you love me?" "Yes, I love you." "Do you love me?" They're different words. So Jesus goes a second time. "Peter, do you agapao me? Do you love me unconditionally like God loves?" And Peter says, "Jesus, you know that I phileo you, I love you like a brother." Now, third time. "Peter, do you agapao me?" No, I'm sorry, third time. "Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me like a brother?" And the scripture says that Peter was hurt that he was asked three times, but I imagine he was also relieved that Jesus had lowered the standard. And Peter said, "Lord, you know that I phileo you, I love you like a brother." What was happening there? Three times Peter denied Jesus. Three times Jesus asked the question. Peter, feeling unable to reach up to the high, unconditional love of God, Jesus bends down, stoops down to his level, and says, I will accept your best imperfect love. That's the story. That's the story of not just the prodigal son, of which Rembrandt painted this picture, but of Peter and of you and I. Jesus met him in his denial, Jesus confronted his denial, and Jesus accepted his best imperfect love. So how does the risen one reinstate today's church? We're in trouble in this crisis. Well, first, lest you missed it, let me just draw the parallels between this story and the present crisis. They're very strong. First of all, for our Catholic brothers and sisters, who is Peter? Right? Peter is the first bishop of Rome, the first pope. Whoa, strong parallels, right? And what's this 153 fish? Well, if you read through John, you know that John is highly symbolic. John's the one that says, are you born again? And, you know, you take it literally, but John always has a spiritual, symbolic meaning to it. What's knowing that John's highly symbolic, what's 153 fish? Well, we don't really know, but early church fathers especially tied this to the idea of the universal or the Catholic Church. Cyril of Alexandria said that it's 153 is made up of 100 for the fullness of the Gentiles, the full number of the Gentiles who will be saved. It was 50 for the faithful remnant of the Jews, and it was 3 for the Trinity. 100 plus 50 plus 3 is 153. Could be. Interesting symbol. St. Jerome said, no, there were 153 then known varieties of fish in the sea. So it was one for each. It meant that God was going to save people from the entire world. I like that too. However you slice that 153, I remember, just a side note, a couple years ago, there was a Korean pastor who was leading a group who decided that somehow 153 meant that the world was going to end on, I don't remember the date, but October 23, 1997. And, you know, it was all the made national media, and they walked out at noon. It was supposed to happen, and they walked out, and it didn't happen. Right? People have done all sorts of things with 153. But I like the idea that Jesus was calling Peter to back to that venture at which he had failed, not to just be a fisher of fish, but to be a fisher of people, and of all people, Jew and Gentile, Protestant and Catholic, then and now. And so the question is, how does the risen one reinstate the church today? Well, same way he did it with Peter. First of all, Jesus meets us in our denial. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus meets us in our denial. Maybe you've noticed this about when you try to hide truth. If you try to hide truth and you're a public entity like the church, people will annoy you until you focus on it. Maybe that's what the media is doing to us. Or your conscience will burn within you that you feel guilty and you have to deal with it. We have to say that this pope has done more to deal with this abuse crisis than any of the previous popes. Must be maybe probably his conscience. He's in Moldavia today dealing with it. Or if neither of those work, then we know that we will face, that it will come out on Judgment Day. Because God's searchlight will find all the hidden corners of our lives and will expose them. God's searchlight cannot be denied in my life or in your life or in our life together. So Jesus will meet us in our denial. And in meeting us in our denial, Jesus will confront our denial. I'm going to tell you just very generally of a story that only about 4 of you know here this morning, and that's all that should know. By far the worst situation that I had to face in my 10 and a half years here was not a situation 99.7% of you know anything about. It was a situation of sexual harassment, I'll say. And when that situation first came up, what I wanted to do more than anything was to sweep it under the rug, to look the other way. And you know what? You know what? I think we Protestants can offer our Catholic brothers and sisters in this crisis. Their problem is not sex in this issue. Their problem is not money in this issue. You know what their problem is? Their problem is power. If our church was organized the way the Catholic Church was organized, and I had the power of a bishop, I would have swept that under the rug, I'm afraid. Because it's so much easier to do it that way. We all forget about it. We all look the other way. But I'm not allowed to do that. We have lay leadership. We're organized representatively. I'm held accountable by laity. And so I had to bring this issue to the elders. And the elders didn't want to deal with it either. But we got the best people we could. And we thought and we prayed and we worked on it. And certainly a family had to leave the church. And it was very unfortunate. But it was what it was. And that's what I want to say to you. The only thing that we can offer our brothers and sisters, beyond sympathy and prayer for the mess that they're in, that we're in together, is that it's very helpful to be accountable to each other. And we are blessed with that. And I was blessed with that in this crisis. And you are blessed with that in this church. And we need to offer that blessing, however they're willing to take it or use it. Because that's the issue. It's an issue of power. Jesus confronts us in our denial. And lastly, Jesus accepts our best imperfect love. When we do the hard work of admitting the hard truth, we know Jesus will accept our best imperfect love. Lord, you know that as a church we cannot say, or as individuals we cannot say that we love you unconditionally like you love us. But we love you the best we can. We ask your forgiveness where that love falls short. And we thank you that your grace is so great that you stoop to the weakness of our love to welcome us back, to heal us. We pray that for us individually. We pray that for our church. We pray that for our friends in the wider church, O God. Restore and reinstate us that we may be a witness, a fisher of men with the grace that you have given. We pray this in your name and all God's people say, amen. Would you give of your tithes and offerings this morning to a God who has given us everything, including an unbelievable, incredible love that we enjoy. Have you confessed your faith first, aren't I? So let's stand up and do that. I'm sorry. I must be a little foggy this morning. It's those the allergens in the air, you know, that I'm battling with. The ancient creed, the most ancient creed that we share with the church all around the world. Will you say it with me as we say it with them, as together our weak faith is accepted by the one who makes us strong. Saying together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated, and before the music starts, I know you guys can get in place if you need to, we have a special gift that is being presented to the church this morning, and I invite Donnelly Zekeris to come forward to present us that gift. Hold on one second, Kristen, all right? Why don't you just sit down by Brian a second? Why don't you sit down there, okay? You'll be good. Oh, wherever you want to sit.
About a month ago, Scott Pontier, who was one of the founders for the Center for Life's Transitions, came before you, and he did present a gift to North Branch Reformed Church to support a senior advocate position that Judy Wilkinson will be taking over to support the elderly within our congregation and in the community. Well, I'm here today again on behalf of the Center for Life's Transition to make another gift to North Branch Reformed Church. This time it's to the Deacons Fund. As you're probably aware, over at the Center for Life's Transition, which rents space over in the Hope House, we have a number of different programs that we do offer to the entire community to help support transitions, challenges, tough times, whether it's parenting, whether it's job loss, whether it's issues of depression, all kinds of wherever someone is and they're feeling a struggle within their life. We have a variety of different ways that we would meet their needs, one-on-one counseling, coaching, and so on. This is a list, for instance, of the programs that are offered now through June. While we would love to be able to say everything that we offer from the center is free, we can't do that because we certainly want to maintain the endowment that was provided to us from Ethel Keynes. And so we have to be careful of wanting to at least hold on to the monies so that there's still something there 5 years from now. What we would like to do today, though, is in making this scholarship gift to the benevolence to the Deacons Fund, we would like to give a gift of $2,500 to North Branch Reformed Church so that anyone within our congregation who would like to take advantage of any of these programs can do so at a reduced or greatly reduced cost. We want to especially make this to North Branch so that you will take advantage of these services so that we can certainly be reaching out to North Branch, especially as the community and the church, to help in tough times. So I ask you, Todd, to just accept this gift in behalf of the Center of Life Transitions with our blessings.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think that you already sent a check for $5,000, though, right? Isn't that the right number? I don't know. Is Doris here? She'll know. She's got the number. Oh, but whatever, it's $2,500. It is $5,000, Scott's saying. So it's $5,000, the gift. And we will use that for scholarship for programs like this. I can see I'd really like that last one, improving sleep and dream recall, except that's too close to my nap time. I take a 20-minute nap every day. No, that would be great, except I'll be on sabbatical that week. But thank you for that gift. If you see a program that you're interested in, advertise in the bulletin or on the wall or on the bulletin board that you'd like to take advantage of, contact the office. We have this. This money can be used for the programs again, for career counseling, for individual or family counseling, for executive coaching, leadership coaching, number of things they offer. Just let us know in the office. And while I'm gone between Memorial Day and August 8 on my sabbatical, Mark and Doris will know how to deal with that. So just give them a call or an email. And we would like to help you be more fulfilled in your life. Thank you, Donnelly. And now, Kristen, I think I've sent you back two or three times. You can come and sing now. Kristen is going to bless us with, she's got a great voice, and we're thankful that you're willing to sing with us, and God's going to bless you in the giving and us in the hearing. I needed you today. Lord Jesus, we're so blessed by the talent that you give us and the talent that's shared. And we thank you for Kristen reminding us that we're never alone, even in those deepest, darkest, most difficult times. And that it's impossible to separate you from us, as impossible as it is to separate breath from a living being. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you for that. And we will live that others will know that this week they're not alone also. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't that fun? Who knows where we'll find the end of God's talent given to this congregation, but we haven't come near to the end of it yet. Thank you, Kristen, for that. Share with me some prayers. I have a bunch of thanksgivings and a bunch of concerns here. I'll read those and pray them, and then I'll invite you to share thanksgivings that you have and concerns that you have, as we know, even in this moment, that we are not alone. Pray with me. Jesus, just as you came to Peter behind that, around that fire, so you come to us this morning with the fire in our hearts, or maybe it's cold embers that you are igniting again and fanning into flame. Oh God, we come around the fire of our heart to you, and we know that we have so much to thank you for. We're thankful for your love and your forgiveness. We're thankful for a 12th wedding anniversary today for the Ennises. We're thankful, Kylie, thanks you for God, for yourself, for God, oh God. And we offer other thanksgivings to you. Lord Jesus, hear us as we thank you for... We thank you for giving Kristen the courage to come out and share her gift. For the spring and the beauty that the earth is showing right now.
For all the women that were at Crossroads this weekend.
For all the women that were at Crossroads this weekend. Well, I'm glad, Lord, there were some thanksgivings. I was getting afraid that I had put people to sleep. And then we bring before you those burdens, those brokennesses, those concerns that we have. We pray for Grandma Baxter, and we pray for a friend, Daryl, who is suffering a reoccurrence of breast cancer. We pray for friend Deb's breast cancer surgery on April 22. We pray for Brian Vanicky, who has cancer and is in pain all the time. Please, God, take the pain away. For Santa Delia, who had recent surgery, and for Nancy Fiedler, who's in the hospital, we pray for their families. We pray for a husband as he faces a difficult week and a son as he takes a final interview. And a friend, Jack, who was recently diagnosed with a brain tumor. And that Jennifer Landrieu's son, Ryan, feels better. And all of those suffering with mental illnesses and their families, oh God. And we remember all of these concerns. We bring them into your embrace. And then we also bring before you the other burdens that were not named. We name either in the quietness of our hearts or out loud. Hear us, Jesus, as we ask you for. Prayers for Nikki Young and her family as they deal with her father's terrible sickness. Peace for the college students as they go into finals. For all of those looking for jobs. Jesus, this broken world that you embrace and have in your hands, O God, and the broken pieces of our lives, we bring them all into your hand as people all around the world do, with that same model prayer that you taught us and you pray with us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, and forever. Amen. And no, I forgot to mention it. We pray also, you guys can come forward. We pray also for Mark's grandfather, who's struggling with pneumonia, and he texted yesterday and asked for prayer. So we lift Grandpa before God also and place him in God's hands. To know that God remembers us and that God's grace is enough. Would you take the hand of the person next to you? You're reminding them that they're remembered and that that grace is enough for them. And know that whoever you are and wherever you go in God's wide world, remember this, that Jesus goes with you before to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times, and most importantly within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace now and forevermore. And all God's people said,
thank you.
You've been listening to a production of the North Branch Reformed Church in Bridgewater, New Jersey, in the United States. To connect with us online, visit nbrc.com. Thanks for listening.